So we finished today this sermon series called Standing Strong. For the last several weeks, we have been looking in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and on, where Paul talks to us about the armor of God. As we come to the conclusion of our series, Standing Strong, we'll look on how Paul ends this section, encouraging us to pray passionately for ourselves, for each other, and for the work of the church. Paul encourages us to pray. The church and each one of us individually, we fall forward in our knees often and we pray. Praying reminds us that reminds us of the battles of life, reminds us of the source of our strength in our defense. It reminds God that reminds us that God is fully committed to us and that we are fully committed to Him and that we're going to follow Jesus in obedience and faithfulness. Prayer. Prayer. Paul will remind us that prayer and the sword, which is Bible study that we talked about last week, are the most powerful tools for combating, for fighting the enemy's schemes, plans, strategies, and weapons in order to defeat us. Prayer. When we put on this whole armor of God that we have studied for the last few weeks, we will be prepared for the enemy's efforts to attack us with pride, with envy, lust, forbidden pleasures, with the itching ears that we often want and desire, with disappointments, discouragement, doubt, division, or any other tricks that the enemy throws our way in order to defeat us as we walk with Jesus. Prayer. Prayer. If we are honest with each other, if we are honest with one another, we have a love and hate relationship with prayer, don't we? Right? If we're really honest about it, we have this love and hate relationship with each other because, we know that prayer is important. We know that we ought to pray and we ought to pray often. We know that prayer is the language of the soul, but there are a lot of things that we do not know about prayer. We do not know if it works, right? We pray, and sometimes it feels like it is not working. We don't know if God has really listened to it or not. We don't know how or why some prayers are answered and others are not. What else do we don't know about prayer? What else is that you don't know about prayer? Prayer, we have a love-hate relationship with it. And here's the thing, often, if we want to be honest, you know I am an honest pastor, and we ought to do nothing more, nothing less to be honest. There's so many times in our lives that we know we're supposed to pray, and we don't feel like praying. Have you ever been there? Going through a mess. Life is a mess. And then a nice little Christian brother comes to you. He's like, well, you should pray. And you're like, get out of here before I take my shoe and boom. Because that's what I feel like doing right now. Have you ever been there where you like, you know prayer, but you struggle with it? And the one thing we hate most about prayer is that we can't control the outcome of prayer. Isn't that it? Man, we as human beings, we want to control everything. And this is one thing about prayer, is that prayer is so not in our hands that it drives us crazy. Prayer. What is your relationship with prayer? I was reading an article just the other day. I have it pulling my phone, and about this lady, and she have a son. They're one kid, the first kid, and one day her husband is in the living room, and the kid falls, and is kind of have like an incision thing, and it's lifeless. They pick the kid, take it to the hospital, and the response to the lady at the hospital was this. This is the response that the lady had towards that situation. She kneels down and say this: God, I'm going to worship you right now. No matter what happens, you are still holy and you are still God. most difficult time of a parent's life, about to lose a kid, or at least it seemed that way, she chooses to kneel down and to pray, and she says, God, I'm going to worship you right now. No matter what happens, you are still God and you are still good. Wow. Wow. Prayer. Intimate conversation with someone that builds the relationship between both individuals. Prayer. I was just in vacation not too long ago, you know that, and what I got the opportunity on that vacation to spend time one-on-one with each one of my kids and my wife. I remember that was one time that for me was precious. I got Junior and I, we Lauren and Caleb and Anna was out doing whatever, and Junior and I were by ourselves. There was a puddle. The waves would come and make this puddle, and we were sitting in the puddle there, and there were some fishes. We were trying to catch some fish, and I look at Junior, and I said, man, this is a great opportunity for me to have a meaningful conversation with my son. So I look at him in the eyes and say, buddy, how's it going? He's like, oh, Dad, I'm going great. I was like, hey, how can Daddy be a better dad for you? How can I be a better dad for you? How can I act better? How can I treat you better? What is your perception of a good dad? How can Daddy meet that? Intimate conversation with someone that builds on your relationship. Prayer. Prayer. When was the last time you had a one-on-one intimate conversation with someone that built on your boat relationship? The same kid that I was playing in the water with trying to catch a fish is the same kid that a few weeks later I was trying to teach him how to have a conversation because he was talking with someone through his phone and he's texting and the person is writing like sentences and he's like, yes, okay, no, maybe. And I'm like, dude, you can't do that, man. She's trying to have a conversation with you. You must expand on your answers. Here's the thing about prayer is that we are so many times we think prayer is a conversation, which is great. We'll talk more about that in the middle and end of the service, the sermon. But let me tell you this, we do not know how to have a conversations today. To sit with someone across the table and look someone in the eye and have a one-on-one conversation is a lost trade. I was looking at my autocorrect here. When I say the word trade, I didn't know if I said it right or wrong. We don't have the ability to have healthy and good conversation. And that's why I love the older generation, because you can have a conversation with the older generation. But when you look at people my age or younger, like we have lost that. And I think that's one of the biggest disconnect we have with prayer is that we just don't know how to have a conversation. Prayer. When was the last time you had a meaningful conversation with someone? Well, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20, we're going to read it for you, that we ought to pray. And there's three little words here from all these passages that really triggers me, okay? And we will expand more on that. Paul says this, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To the end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Paul opens this verse saying, praying at all time in the Spirit. Like, I love those three little words, and they captivate me, in the Spirit. I believe that Paul, we will talk more about prayer for sure, but there are these three words captivated me most, which I believe are key in how effective our prayers are. I believe that in the Spirit is key into making effective and answerable prayers. Because for Paul, there is a place of being that enables prayers to be made and prayers to be effective. And that place is in the Spirit. I know you don't understand. It might be a little bit silly for you to talk about this, but as a foreigner who's trying to learn English, there's two little words that are so hard to understand. It's the word in and on. Is the book in the table or on the table? Right? So I'm going through this battle of understanding in and on and using it, and people look at me and laugh, and I'm all good with that. And one day, this lady who's trying to teach me some English, she picks up a bucket and she says, "Sam, let me teach you the difference between in and on. Let me teach you the difference between in and on." And I was like, "Okay, sounds good." So she's like, "Get the bucket," and she turns it, and she's like, "Go inside." So I go inside, and she's like, "You're in the bucket." And I was like, "Heck no, I am not. I'm on the bucket. There's a bottle down there, and I'm on top of it." She's like, "No, you are inside." I was like, "No, I'm on." She's like, "Let me teach you about on." So she gets the bucket, turn it upside down. So I go on top of it. So I go on top of it, and then the bucket breaks. No, I'm just joking. Go on top of it, and she's like, "Now you're on the bucket." I was like, "I was on the bucket before. It's still the bottom of the bucket that I'm on top of it. It doesn't matter if I'm in or out. I'm still on the top of the thing. You know what I'm saying? I got it that day, the difference between being in and on something. And Paul tells us that when you pray at all times in the Spirit. Our prayer should flow from our position in Christ, from what it fills us. I am reminded of passages that talk about living and walking by the Spirit, living fulfilled and filled by the Spirit, not by the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26, Paul talks to us about being in the Spirit and living by the Spirit and acting and speaking of the Spirit. And this is what he says: "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposite to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sexuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, orgy, and things like these. But I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law." Paul reminds us that there is a way of praying that glorifies God, that makes our prayers effective and makes our prayers answerable, and that is in the Spirit. And Paul here in Galatians chapter 5 explains to you what being in the Spirit is and what being outside of the Spirit is also. Could it be, is it possible that we make prayers from the standpoint of our flesh? Could it be that when we are talking to God, having an intimate conversation with Him, that it is possible that our prayers is made of the standpoint of the flesh, making it ineffective and unanswerable? Is it possible that some of the words that comes out of our mouths and our hearts come from a place that is opposite from the Spirit? Is it possible? I remember being in a relationship with this guy that I call a friend of mine, and he stabbed me in the back, right? He stabbed me in the back and really caused me some pain. And I started praying to God, having a conversation with God about that guy. And what kind of prayer do you think I made? A prayer in the Spirit and a prayer in the flesh. Of course I'm praying in the flesh. You know, you think I was thinking about love and patience and kindness? Heck no. God, you should strike him with the lightning. You know, you better kill that guy and better this and better that. Destroy him, glorify me. Pride, selfishness. How many of us going through something in life, in a relationship or something, and the prayers we make, it is a prayer that comes out of the flesh and not out of the spirit, and we're waiting for God to respond, and he doesn't, and we called God bad because he doesn't respond to prayers that comes from the flesh. How many times? I remember 17 years old going to a nightclub. I was already drunk, I had used drugs before that, but I was about to get inside there and get drunk, and I was like ready for just having a good time. So Matt, can you come back one more? And before I go to that nightclub, and I look at the moon, and I start praying, God, Jesus, help me today. I'm going to go in here. I know I'm going to make it. And can you please help me out? Because I'm going to be a sexually immoral today. I got some impurity going on and sexuality. And it's all about me and myself. And I made that prayer right before it. Could it be that sometimes we're making prayer out of the flesh and not of the spirit? Could it be that the next one, Matt, please, thank you, sir. Could it be that prayers would be answered if you're praying in spirit and love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness? James tells us in James chapter 5, verse 16, he says this, therefore, confess your sins to one another. Right? This is a prayer out of the spirit. Confessing is a spiritual thing to do. Like, right? It is going out and telling others that you trust and with confidence the things that you have done that God's despised. Confession is a spiritual thing. We're so afraid. I'm so afraid of sinning because I don't want to confess, right? Isn't that how we do it? We're afraid of the word confession. At least I am, so I try not to sin so I don't have to confess. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Paul is like, James is telling us about prayer, the importance and healing, the answer that comes. But then he says this, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Righteous person, someone who is in the spirit. Is it possible that we make prayers from the standpoint of our flesh, making our prayers ineffective and unanswerable? I don't have answers for you today necessarily about prayer. This is not a answer your questions about prayer sermon. But I want to tell you this. But I wrestle with this statement in the spirit all the time as I pray. Because I wrestle because I'm often reminded of what Paul says on Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. On Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, Paul tells us this. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for. So here's why I wrestle with, because so many times when I'm supposed to pray, I don't feel like praying. And when I'm praying, I don't know what I'm praying for. Have you ever been there? So many options, so many things going on. There's sin, there's holiness, there's good, there's bad. Sometimes I want the bad stuff to happen, so I don't know how to pray and how I'm praying, so I'm like all confused. And Paul tells like, this is okay. Confusion is fine. Don't fake it before God. He says this, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit, look how good God is, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. God knows, always knew that we would have troubles with prayer. So he gave us grace and said, Holy Spirit, when my people do not know what to pray or how to pray, or don't feel like to how pray, you pray for them. You intercede for them. If we are not certain our prayer is based on spirit leading, maybe we should rely at times on the intercession of the Holy Spirit. Maybe we should rely on the Holy Spirit more, that there are words than our words or our intentions. Maybe if you don't know how to pray, the best thing to do, or you don't want to pray, maybe the best thing to do is to be quiet and allow the Spirit of God to do the talking for you. And right here is for me where we miss the point of prayer. This is for me is a turning point on prayer here. But prayer is not as much as words that is spoken, that is a meeting with God. Prayer is not as much as talking, as in sitting there and enjoying God's presence. Have you ever been beside someone and found yourself content on just being there with that person? Have you ever found that? Have you ever found that being beside somebody is enough for you? I remember being with Junior on that water there in the ocean, and we were talking. I found myself just satisfied in being in the presence of my son. Me and him, and nothing else mattered. Of course, I love my wife and my other two children, but at that moment, I was there with Junior, and that was all that matters to me. Who was that person for you? Do you remember when you first felt that? I remember when Laura first felt that. She found me and she was like, I'm content with this guy's presence. Who wouldn't be, right? I remember when I find myself in Laura's presence and say like, man, this is enough. And I think prayer, there's something there for us to understand about prayer. Prayer is also how we can be just with God in His presence, and we call that time with God in silence, only in His presence, enough. That is prayer. Prayer is to be in the presence of God. And Paul tells us, pray at all time, right? God is here right now in your presence, and you're in the presence of God. Are you enjoying God's presence right here, right now? Are you praying right now? The Bible tells us that God is omnipresent. It means that He's present at all time. So it's not about God's presence. It is about your awareness to God's presence. Are you aware of God's presence at all times in your life? When your life is good, or when life is bad, or when things are terrible, are you aware that God is there? And that's a praying time. See, there is an easiness that comes to prayer when we are going through difficult times. It is a time, if it is a time of dryness and challenges, or if it's personal challenges or spiritual battles or difficulties, it is easy for, or if you're going through something that we can't control, it's easy for us just to go ahead and to pray. We go on in prayer. Prayer becomes this desperate place where we understand our dependency on God. And that's good. That's commendable. And Paul advises us not only to here in Ephesians, but also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 17, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 11. He advises us to pray consistently, fervently, at all times, not only in difficult times, but at all times, not only for you, but also for others. We ought to pray all times for everyone at every time. He says it doesn't matter the state you find yourself in, you pray. It doesn't matter what state you find your friend, your spouse, your family member, your enemy, your co-worker, you pray. Pray at all times. We are invited to show up just as we are. And there is nothing special that we need to do other than show up and create this awareness of God in our lives and to pray. There's one thing about prayer, though, that is important. When we are praying at all times, we must be honest. There must be this honesty that comes before God. We ought to come before God who we are. We can't be avoiding lies. It's not about avoiding lies. It's about showing God who you are. there is an honesty before God, and it is turning to Him in the midst of your confusion, in the midst of your doubt, of your anger, of your hopes, of your fears, of your fantasy, of your pain, of your coping, of our defenses, our struggle, our sins, our brokenness. Prayer is showing up before God at all time. It doesn't matter what's going on. You open up of yourselves and you say, God, here I am. This is the true me. Prayer. Intimate conversation that build the relationship of both individuals. There is no cure for that which we most deeply suffer from and struggle with unless we come to God holding nothing back. Let me spend a couple of minutes talking about prayer here. Praying. See, here's the thing about prayer. So we have talked about this idea of praying at all times. We talk about praying in the Spirit. There must be understanding there. And let's talk about the subject of prayer here for a second. I'm afraid that we have reduced prayer to a magical ritual that allows us to bring the divine under our control. We think of prayer as a leash that we put it on a dog. It's like, put it on a dog and bring the dog closer to us. We think of prayer as like, putting a leash on the divine and say, now you do what I want you to do for me. But biblically, prayer is more like floating in God's river of love. That's what prayer is. It is floating in God's river of love. Prayer is much more than we could ever imagine because God is so much beyond what we could conceive Him to be. I'm afraid that at times we have resumed God simply to these two things, wish fulfillment and projections of our dreams. I think sometimes we don't understand who we're talking to, so we make God to be this wish fulfillment or these projections of our dreams. And here's the thing, we are surrounded with God in the 21st century. We are surrounded with little gods that tells us, that promises us a lot, but delivers very little. They don't have the power that it takes to fulfill the deepest longing of us, that we all urge and we all want. The gods of this world does not have the power to meet our urgent needs and problems. Say it can, but reality is that it can't. So these little gods compete with God Himself, distorting our view of who God is, which leads us to a very important need, the need to meet God as God really is. Meet God for who He really is, not as a container of our wishes and our dreams. Prayer then becomes an act of God who invites us to meet Him for who He really is. If prayer is meeting God, then we can either meet false gods or we can meet the real God. And God is like, I invite you to meet the real me. Let's have a conversation together. So prayer is the encounter of the true self and the one true God. Many have defined prayer as a conversation. I love that. I love that idea. But here's what we need to understand about conversation. Conversations are appointed encounters with God. Prayer is these conversations that we have these appointed encounters with God. God comes to you and says, like, listen, I want to meet with you right here, right now. My ears are open. My hearts are open. Let's have this conversation between you and I. And we respond to it. Prayer does not start with us. Prayer starts with God, who invites us to be in His presence, to encounter Him and to talk to Him. Prayer starts with God. Don't be selfish and naive to think that you're the one who starts prayer. Prayer doesn't start with you. Prayer starts with God, who is ready to listen to you. Prayer. Encounter with God. The real God. When God invites, we respond to the divine invitations to our encounter. You ought to remember that prayer, this conversational prayer, has already begun because God has already reached out seeking our attention and our response. Until we learn to attend to God who is already present and communicating with us, our prayers will be just a product of our own imagination. Prayer is a place where we encounter God, and praying at all times is the Christian spiritual journey of responding to God's invitation to a consistent personal encounter in love with Him. Prayer. A journey with God where you consistently encounter the real, true God. But Paul doesn't end there. He doesn't end there. And he says, and pray for all the saints. Pray for all the saints. There is nothing worse than meeting someone who is all about himself or herself. Have you ever met someone who is the only thing that they can't talk about is about themselves? Have you ever met someone like that? Have you ever met with someone who talks, and all they talk about is themselves? Have you ever met that person? How we call that person? Oh, you don't need to shout it out. It was just like, we have all kind of names for those individuals, don't we, right? I mean, it is annoying when you're going to have a conversation with someone, and someone is always turning that conversation to themselves. It's like, we're talking about cake. About themselves. We're talking about earth. It's about themselves. You talk about the trees. It becomes about themselves. Have you ever done that? Have you ever met someone who's like that? Paul is like, well, turn the mirror. Start looking in the mirror. Because every time you go sit to talk with God, you make it everything about yourself. You got to make about some other people too, you know? We ought to, while meeting with God, make supplications for all the saints. I know things with you is bad. I understand that sometimes things with us is bad. I got that. But let me tell you this. I'm pretty sure that someone beside you here this morning are going through the same thing, maybe even worse. Have you thought of that? Is your life a mess? Come live my life for me for a second. Are you going through difficulties? I am sure that someone beside you is going through the same thing or worse. Paul tells us we ought to pray for all the saints. It's not only about you, it is about us as God's people. Let me ask you a few questions. What would it happen if we stop praying for our needs only, but also start to pray for the needs of others? What would happen? What if we would bring the needs of others to God before putting our needs, our own needs, our desires before the Almighty? What if we created a chain today, right here and right now, between us, a chain of trust and prayer where we would share with someone our struggles, our fears, our pains, our disappointments, our frustrations, where we would share with someone in here right now all of those things, and they would pray for us, for me, and he would share with me, and I would pray for him? What would happen if we would share with struggles with one another and we would pray for each other? What would happen? Are you willing to make your life not only about yourself but about somebody else? Do you want me to scare the heck out of you right now? Turn to someone beside you and say, what are you struggling with right now? Let me pray for you. If I would make you do that, you would look at me, it's like, I'm never coming back to this church again. My pastor is making me ask somebody about their struggle. And now I got to go tell me them my struggle. But what happened if we were open and honest enough before each other and say, listen, I am struggling in my relationship with my wife. And we're about to get a divorce. Can you pray for me? Or I'm struggling with addiction, and I have this addiction, that this habit that I can't break. And can you please pray for me? maybe I have depression and anxiety, and I come, Christina, you know what, girl? I'm struggling with depression and anxiety. Can you please pray for me? What would happen if we would take this, the word of God, at its face value and start praying with one another? What if you pray for your pastor and I'll pray for you? Christian is built on a hope that in Christ all will be made new. And this is why prayer holds the possibility of being transformational. Because in prayer, we meet Christ, and who through prayers, Christ meets us and touches our lives and touches our world. We are all fighting against the enemy. And Paul knows that, Jesus knew that, God knows that, and he's telling us there is an armor that you ought to wear. There is a lot of provision from God, but at the end of the day, you have to meet God, because he is the one through whom the power comes from and through whom you get the armor. But it's not only about meeting God. It's about making life, not about yourself, but us, everybody else. So don't only meet God for you, meet God for you and for others. This morning, I think the invitation for us is to just to meditate in this idea of prayer and encounter with God that has already have been initiated by God himself. Maybe it's to think about the idea that prayer is not only about me, it is about me, but it's also about others, because people are going through the same thing that I'm going through. So maybe even worse. But most importantly, making prayer as a response to God's invitation to encounter, because God wants to encounter with you face to face right here and right now. You don't have to do nothing, no cleaning it up, no faking it. Just come with your true self, and God will meet you with his true self, and it will be beautiful. May you close your eyes, and may we together at this moment be in God's presence for a second. Father, help us to understand what it means to be in your presence. Help us to have good conversations, or to understand the meaning of conversation. Help us to build on the relationship we have with you, to set time aside to be with you in your presence. Even at times that we don't know what to say, may our silence speak through the Spirit, who searches our heart, who knows what's going on in our minds, but also who knows you. Father, I pray that your people would be stronger, 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 and stronger, not because of us, but because of the God we have. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.